We try to figure out what's gonna be best for the actual modules. And obviously, the central lease has a need right now. So there's 25 bodies in the program right now that belong to us. 8 of those bodies are driver operators. The rest are firefighters. So we're bringing in more firefighters to hopefully try to give you guys the staffing that you're looking for. And I think we had this conversation before. We try our best to try to.
Yeah, we've had it many times.
Yeah, that's why everybody's here and that's why everybody's asking.
And I totally understand. And it's one of those things. I understand where you're coming from. Everybody has frustration when it comes to the program.
Well, I know because my husband, Otterberg, used to work here.
Okay.
And he's one of the locals who was told by Meacham and everybody else in your big old county meetings, he's gonna stay there.
He's supposed to be here around 7.
Instead, they were moving him around, him and Benin.
And Benin, and just to give you guys a heads up, I think I mentioned this last meeting. Benin is part of that support function to where he should be able to respond from his house. So that pretty much allows him to be that one of.
Oh, they gave that deal to him?
They gave that deal to him.
Oh, really? Because they offered my husband and they never came back to my house.
If your husband wants, if he's interested, we're still looking for.
No, he's not interested anymore, no.
Now
he's done.
Yeah,
he's done right on out of here. I know, Captain Ortega, that you don't have any idea about any of this, but our community is fairly invested in this because I'll speak for myself, what I observe being on the board and being a member of this community. I feel that Mike Otterberg, who is a very amazing person who cared about our community, was literally, quite frankly, chased out of this station. They were told he could keep his job. He was told all this stuff, and they came right in here and they just wiped it out. And it was gone. And that was before your time. That was when
Johnson
came up in here. And he was supposed to work right alongside Johnson and not lose any of his responsibilities. And from what my understanding is,
Johnson get
the next month, they just wiped him out.
It's the same thing that's going to go on in Julian. It's just a matter of time.
In this community. He cares about our community. He cares about the people here. He's invested in this community. His family's
here.
And they just shuffled him right on out of here.
And when you say Corey Bennett is able to do what you're just talking about that Mike wanted to do, if he's assigned somewhere else, it's impossible for him to do that from his house. Because he
doesn't matter.
You're talking Benin.
You just said Benin can respond from his house. He's like, what?
So, and you guys are aware that he actually has a job now in Cala Mesa, I believe.
Right.
He's a fire captain.
That's what
so, on his time off, he's able to go ahead and do so. That's,
on his time
but
off.
Yeah. That's totally up to him, obviously. Not something that I have a say and say, hey, you will cover this and that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's pretty much at his given time, whatever is available to give back to the community and the station. So, but yeah, he is available to do so if he has the time to do so. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
So it's just.
Well, I have a question. I think it was, 2 years ago, January, that Meacham was here?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Up in here with Cal Fire and the county, a bunch of them in their uniforms, saying that we were going to have an EMT by April.
Yep.
And we were going to be fully staffed. So when you come in here and say that we have 6 people coming out here,
I understand where you guys are coming from, and I'm just trying to give you guys the information that I have.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to share it. If you guys want to take
a tough job.
If you guys want to take it, take it. If you don't, throw it out back. And I'm going to continue to just bring you guys what I have. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
Like I said, I try my best to get you guys covered. And I think I mentioned in the last couple meetings, if I'm here and you guys run into anything, bring it to me. I am an EMT. Yeah, we'll try our best to get it going, but.
What is the difficulty in getting coverage here?
Driver operators.
On the patrol or what?
Yeah,
just in
away.
General,
yeah.
Just driver operators. So So by the time the kids get to that point, they're just well educated, well trained, that they're now enticed to go to other departments. And so they're getting picked up and they're starting their career in the fire service.
That makes no sense. They're not even able to drive and respond to a call. If they're in, then what's the benefit of the reserve program if they can't drive and respond to a call?
And we were offered this 2 years ago when Meacham was here. He said that we were going to move the patrol up here so that people were not necessarily drivers could drive. And now you guys once again have changed the rules, not only just here, but in Julian you have changed the rules where now someone who's not a driver can't get in a patrol. So the same thing we were promised 2 years ago, you guys have changed the rules. So what was the point of moving the patrol here?
It's a Class C vehicle.
It's just like driving my car. Does anyone have an answer for that?
I'm sure it probably has to do with the insurance and the.
And it's gonna be, obviously, there's different qualifications that we all have to go through to be able to pump.
I'm sorry, it's a Class C vehicle.
No, and I understand that, because everybody.
If you have a driver's license and you can save a life, why are they being, why are they being denied?
If you have a firefighter endorsement, then you can drive that vehicle. So it is a Class C with a firefighter endorsement, meaning that you have to go through the proper.
So is our rescue, but there's no firefight, there's no water on it, there's nothing. It's just a rescue. And and we're having rules by CAL FIRE that we have to have a driver 1A class, a firefighter endorsement. Well, it is when you have a CAL FIRE chief right here, and that's our chief.
So Karen, I just want to clarify real quick. This isn't a Julian meeting, so
I can have it if I want. It's
completely relevant.
Absolutely.
The situation, because you guys have made promises to us that you're making the same promises to Julian. I was at the LAFCO meeting, okay? I heard you promise to Julian that their volunteers are gonna be able to stay in their station. We were promised that. Everything that you've promised them, you've promised us, and you've broken them. So it's completely relevant. If she has something to say in our meeting, we have welcomed her here, and I suggest that you guys help accommodate, because everything going on in this meeting is relevant. What's going on with the takeover up there is relevant to what happened with the takeover here. The lies that we heard in the meeting are relevant to the lies that we all have been told for 2 years.
So what's try
10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
Right. Tony, I know you just walked into the middle of this, but the county promised us 10 years ago that our station would be staffed. We have done the Ranchita Fire Department, we have done everything that the county has asked us to do. We have, you know, we leased the building and the property, and the county came in and gave us new water tender and new fire engine and rebuilt the building, and all that's wonderful. But there's no staffing here. 8 days. There was 7 days in June. There's 8 days in August, okay? That's just, the people in this community are pissed, irritated, and angry.
And driving themselves to the hospital.
Literally driving themselves to the hospital, because they don't have faith, if they call 911, that anybody's going to be here to respond.
We had a 65-year-old guy last month drive himself to the hospital. Yeah. Not himself, his wife drove him, girlfriend.
Actually, we had a young disabled person in this community within the last month that if his dad hadn't been a former EMT, he'd be dead. He's still in the hospital, I believe.
As a former board member for 10 years, and I helped facilitate building this station because of what we were promised, I would like to know, where do we go? The board has done their job, or is trying to communicate with CAL FIRE or get answers. So now I'm going to be, as a community member, I'm pissed, because I want to know, and now I see what happens to Julian, what do we do? Please let us know what we can do as a community, because obviously your promises are not working, and that's what we're watching Julian, and that's why everybody's coming to their defense.
Let me set a few ground rules, because I walked into this. Okay? I came out here to listen to the community and answer your questions. I think I have some stuff. I'm going to give you information. I want to be really clear. This is not about Julian. This is about Julian. I'm leaving. Okay. Number two, if we are going to throw lies and accusations at me or my staff, then I'm going to leave. If we want to have a conversation to try and understand the issues, I'm more than willing to sit down and have a discussion and listen and see if we can work towards a positive solution.
This is a good time for that.
Yeah, I agree, sir, and I didn't.
So I apologize.
And just to clarify, the strong words that you just used, lies and accusations, these are perceptions. This is what people believe to be untruths. If you don't like the word lie, fine. But this is the perception of people in this community.
This wasn't created by us.
So I don't think the intent is to be malicious or name calling.
We're frustrated.
The perception is that what we've been told for
years,
10 years at least that I've been here, has not come to fruition, and what can we do?
And trust me, I have no problem hearing people's frustration, but we have to have
a respectful discussion about the issue is all,
okay.
is all I'm asking. So I'm going to give you some information on some response times and a few things that you can set up. I will tell you to kind of sum up the endpoint. The situation that we are seeing here is the same situation that we are seeing with every volunteer reserve fire department in the state of California. We cannot keep people. We cannot meet the legal requirements. And I can go into extensive detail on how, while that is a Class C vehicle, it requires a lot more training than a Class C. It's not the vehicle, it's the capabilities of the vehicle and the job that we ask the people to drive that vehicle to do. I could put anybody in this room to go drive that vehicle to a fire, but are you trained and are you going to be safe and do you know what to do when you get there? So yes, we have standards and training. I can give you all of the codes. They're in compliance with Senate Bill 1207. I do not have the legal authority to violate the law when it comes to training standards. I don't. And that is an issue that is being faced by every fire department here. And yes, I have been to this community on several occasions. We have re-racked our reserve program. We have re-racked it again. We tried to move all of the reserves out here. I will tell you straight out, most of the reserves don't like coming here. It's not because they don't like the community. This is a very slow fire station. And the reserves tend to be young men and women that are in the college program that want career jobs. And that was initially how our program was designed. And they want those career jobs. So they want to be at a busier place. They want to be with career staff. They want to be on a paramedic fire engine. So we have retooled this. The answer, and the only answer here that I can give you, is we need to put career staff in.
That is the answer. Because that's what we've been asking for years.
I agree. And you have to understand that career staffing is near $1 million a year. Okay? Last year we had 34 calls in this community. Now the station responds to a lot more, it serves the regional area. But we had 34 calls here. Those 34 calls, and I'll look at the numbers, but the average, and I understand too, when you are the person calling 911, you could give 2 weeks about the average response time.
Right.
But the average response time is 15 minutes here. And in the county general plan and the standard, that is an acceptable standard. So this is a outlying area that is very hard to serve. And so when you are going through a process with county government to get an expenditure of $1 million, is yes, there has been a series of steps. So what I have tonight to share with you is I'm submitting an issue paper. I've had a discussion with the Deputy County Administrative Officer, and we really have 4 options. Option 1 is we do nothing, and I don't think that's a very good option. And we tell the community, look, you choose to live in this outlying area, this is the standard that you're going to provide, and we go on. I don't think that's an acceptable answer to anybody in this room. The second is we look at partial career staffing. We staff the station 4 days a week, and we see if we can get the reserves here the other 3 days. While I think we would see a temporary improvement in that, what we are seeing is that we are not seeing the reserve stay in the reserve program long enough to get the driver qualification. Our average reserve right now, Los Angeles City, Orange County, all of the major fire departments are getting ready to do a hiring. There's hundreds of jobs there. So our average reserve is with us about 2 years, some of them slightly less.
Okay. My question was, isn't there a required amount of time that a reserve is supposed to serve before they're allowed to, in order to repay the county for their training that they got? I thought the reserves were supposed to stay in the system at least a year or 2 years.
There was it's called the Indentured Servitude Act. You cannot require somebody in a government agency to stick around and pay back. This was a court case that went through in relation to agencies that had paid for employees to go to paramedic school to say, well, you have to work for us 2 years and you can't hold anybody.
You know, case that was?
I'll have to look it up.
Because I have a sister-in-law that works for the federal government now. They sent her to college, she owes 2 years.
That's the federal government. But in essence, so we're just not seeing the reserves. We have a lot of reserves in the front door. We have a lot of them. We have how many today at the orientation. But they're not getting to the point where they're going to be drivers. So the answer is we have to put career staff. So I'm going to submit 3 proposals from hiring going 4 days a week to 7 days a week, and then also what it would cost to implement ALS services here.
ALS.
Permit.
That's option two.
Option three.
Option
two. So option one would basically be that we staff the station half time with career staff and reassign the rest of the reserves here.
That's option two, right? Option one was do nothing.
Option one,
option one is
I want to make sure to be clear in my notes here.
So. Option one is basically do nothing. Option two is that we hire a firefighter two. We put Captain Ortega back on shift work. We have a relief shift that would cover the fourth day of the week here, and then we reassign the remainder of our drivers here and see if we can get coverage. I think that might, with the reserves, buy us some coverage for a while. It's not a permanent fix. And then the third option is go basic life support 7 days a week.
BLS or could you say ALS?
Well, first the first option is BLS.
Okay.
And then the fourth option is paramedics.
Seven days a week.
Yes.
But that's dependent on getting the funding. Correct.
So the $1 million, so I'm clear, that's funding to pay for?
Staffing.
But which of these options? The last one? Or
the
that's
last
a career
one.
Station?
So it starts to hire just a firefighter and put Captain Ortega back on shift work, fully loaded with benefits, is about $150 to $170. And then you go all the way up to just under $1 million for paramedic level staff. So we've reached that point, right? When we've reached that point where we're never going to give you folks 7 day a week 100% coverage, try to maintain an all volunteer reserve fire department. It's not going to happen. So what I need your help on is to work with me as I take this proposal through the county to write letters of support, not letters of anger, to reach out to not only Supervisor Horn, but we are in an election to see who the new supervisor is going to be, and work with me to get the money allocated. I'm going to ask for it at mid-year. It's the next opportunity that I have to gain additional funding is January 1st at the mid-year review.
So basically, until then, we'll continue in the staffing pattern that we have currently now.
Until January?
8 days a week. 8 days a week.
Well, more beyond January. I have a question. And I mean this like, just because I know I've asked it a few times, but I really want to get an answer. When we moved to Ranchina, my husband and I, our home here, we were thrilled to find a home where we could see this beautiful new fire station from our kitchen window. There was people here. We felt safe. We have a child. We encouraged our friends to move here. They did, some of them, one of them at least. But you know what the realtor didn't tell us is that no one's ever there. So, you know, we bought this home feeling safe, feeling it was a good, nice place to raise our child with our neighbors and the people that we care about here. And it was not so. But what I know to be true is that 10 or whatever years ago that this all started before my time, but I have many friends here who've told me I've been on the board long enough and heard all these stories from all these people. This is what was promised, that we'd be staffed. Before we had a volunteer fire department, we had our friends and our neighbors that would help us, that we could count on. And they could respond from home. It might not have been perfect. Probably no fire station ever is. Even fully career stations probably aren't perfect. But the county came in and pushed it out forcefully, according to some people. And they made all these promises, you'll be staffed all the time. And people felt, well, maybe it'll still be safe. And then it wasn't. And it never was. And then what I was told when I asked this question the last time is that because I want to know why. Why would that happen to us? From the people that we count on to keep us safe, the people we elect to take care of us, why would this happen? And I was told by the people, well, I was told by a CAL FIRE employee, and Captain Ortega here agreed, that Ranchita doesn't meet the requirements for this program, and we never have. So why couldn't we just be left to what we had, which was better than what we have now? why. I know it doesn't really matter, but my heart wants you to know that it matters to me and my family and my neighbors and the people who live here that I care about. That answer matters, because why aren't we taken care of like we were promised? Why? We could have done this on our own.
And we're doing it on our own.
Yeah.
We are doing it on our own. But I'm going to tell you that there's many people in this community that won't be able to do it on their own much longer. And there's people here that if something happened, they would be dead. And they matter. Their lives matter just as much as anyone anywhere else. My city friends cannot comprehend what. What? They said, what? Because they could never drive by their fire station and see it on stuff. What? And they drive out here, and heaven forbid a fire happened, they'd be on their gas getting out of here because they see that we don't have anyone here. Nobody can understand that because we pay taxes too. We're not dollar signs here. We're people. We're lives. We're families. And we're a community that is owed what we were promised. Unfortunately, apparently, I don't know what the contract says because I haven't been able to review it, but it hasn't happened for us. And I just want to know why, because it matters to me and it matters to my family and it matters to my friends. Why? Why did they make those promises? Why didn't they just let us be?
So a couple things. One, I can't answer about the promises that were made 10 years ago because I wasn't here. I have nothing in writing and I have nothing to confirm or deny what you're saying on what those promises were or not. What I will tell you is I have not changed my message to this board in the nearly 5 years I've been the chief here, and that is that the days of volunteer firefighters, it's a dying breed.
No, it isn't.
Okay, I'm speaking now, so if you let me please speak. That the legal requirements to be a firefighter in the state of California are codified in state statute. What we had 10 years ago was good people trying to do good things, and while we may have had numbers, we did not meet the law or Cal OSHA law. There is currently several OSHA investigations that are currently occurring today in this county over this. And so whether we're here or we're not here, the ability to maintain a volunteer fire department is extremely difficult unless you have a core group of people that are willing to commit to very high training standards and a lot of time. So I do believe that probably 8 or 9 years ago, and I wasn't here, that the people that said at the time felt that the reserve program the county was doing was going to make things better. When I came in 2014, it was very clear to me back then that maintaining this system was not sustainable and that we lose people faster than we can keep them in the system. The rate of attrition is higher than the rate of people staying because of the training requirements and the cost requirements and all of the other mandates that are thrown. The reserves and the volunteers are spectacular when we think about it operating at the entry-level firefighter level. We have a lot of people, but trying to get them to the experience of being a supervisor is extremely challenging. And so, again, the answer here is we have to put career staffing in. That's the answer.
So
if that's what you guys are telling us.
But
right.
So,
we will.
So
I have not, just to be clear,
yeah.
Ma'am, I've been here, I have never said that here.
He has not.
I have
okay.
not said that. I've said that
so,
we were I have said we are reformatting the reserve program. We are shifting. We've staffed career other places for whatever those reasons were to the county, and that we had moved reserves here, that we were making efforts, right? I have never, and I appreciate this, but I've never come in here and said I'm going to give you career staff until tonight, because we are seeing the numbers dropping faster than we can bring them in. You know, if I had 100 kids going through the driver program right now, I would be here telling you probably what I did a year ago, but the fact of the matter is we don't.
How come we can't just have our local firefighters?
Because they're not properly trained.
What?
No, we have properly trained firefighters.
So I would ask you this. You develop a list of local firefighters that live here.
Otterburg and Benin.
That's okay. Two.
So
that's
no, let me answer this gentleman's question. And I'll talk about, we have support reserves. We're allowing both those gentlemen to cover from home.
Would
no.
you leave now?
I'm sorry, I disagree. You guys offered that to my husband. It was never followed up by Johnson. So my husband just went ahead and said, forget it.
Okay, so.
And we're not allowed to respond from home either, and Julian.
So you gather a list of firefighters in this community with their training certs, and I will come back to a meeting and we will go through each and every one of those to see if they can be here. But I've heard this before. We have people in the community. Fine. Have those people come down and bring me their qualifications.
I have a problem or an answer to this because, honestly, there's other people in this community that if this was allowed, we would step up. But if you're going to send me to Julian, I'm not going to step up. But if I can respond from a call from my house that's less than a block away, I will stay.
You can absolutely do that.
But I can't. You haven't allowed it from the guys that are here. They're here every day. They want
to. You guys, remember we talked about the support function? So Corey Bennett has been offered that job. Corey's working now at Cala Mesa. He's on the fence regarding this just because of what he's trying to balance in his life. So if he gives us a straight answer, yes or no, he's going to be able to respond with that 30-minute window from his residence. And that's what I was talking about in a couple board meetings ago, that's what we're trying to work on to see if we can bring people like Corey, because obviously Corey has a lot of passion for the program and for the community. So there is, don't say it's not happening, because it is.
Okay, well, I'm going to respond to that, only because, Meacham, you know who I am. I've talked to you before. My husband, when he was offered that position, he talked to Johnson. My husband is home. All he does is train our horses. So he's home all day, 24/7. Okay, I'll get back to you. Let me talk to Meacham.
Was it a career position?
It was what Bennett's doing right now.
So
there you had someone who could be an answer from his home, 24/7. But then nobody talked to anybody, supposedly. Johnson never got back to Otterburg. So he's like, excuse my French, fuck it, forget it. And you guys know he has all the cert.
He does, absolutely.
Yes.
I know him very well.
So yes. Put him on the list.
So is he still
epic?
Or would
me.
He?
I can see where
he's the guy could run away.
See him so dirty, Shannon.
Nick, basically the bottom line comes down to the reason you can't volunteer and I can't volunteer,
but
you can't volunteer.
I could. I could go get certified.
If you could get the certification.
And I can. And I would. If I would be allowed to sit here,
right.
I would do it.
We
granted,
that,
I would be useless during the day.
I
go to
work. I will make that commitment right now. And you can film me. If you want to go get all of your certs and re-sign up, and meet all of the legal requirements,
and we can stay.
I will put
right
you
there.
Right here. Absolutely, I will.
And we're all. Yeah. Are we all okay? So go do this.
Go Nick.
First time.
If anybody else might want to.
If they can meet
the
training requirements, absolutely.
I'm sorry, I disagree.
But basically, it comes down
to
you would have to be.
Well,
trained,
but I understand. But what they need to do first is demonstrate that with the ones we already have.
Because
again,
I was told by you.
We have
Meacham,
two.
That
we need this
demonstrated. When I went to the quarterly meeting, you guys were there. You said Otterburg and Benham will stay at the station because they are locals.
I was.
Then
there
it
too.
Ended up where they were telling them they had to go other places. They're like, no, we were told that we were going
to
stay here at Ranchita because we're locals.
What I'm saying is I think it needs to be demonstrated by you. We have to.
Okay.
And as soon as you can live by these words that you just said you would commit to with the people we have, I think you're going to see a groundswell
of
people start.
So we have made the offer
to
both of those individuals. Right?
That's not what
Carol said. Okay, no. What she's saying is, I have said that now, and I said it in the meeting. This is the first that I've heard, so you can come in here and ambush me with a motion that I didn't do something I said, but I said it then, I'm saying it now, and I said it in that quarterly meeting, that both of those gentlemen can be assigned here. They need to do 3 shifts a month. They can cover from home. I can't be any more clear for it. And I'm sorry, if he's mad and he doesn't want to sign up to the program, then there's nothing I can do about that because I've made the availability or the option for him to be here. So if he doesn't want to participate in the program, sir, I don't know how I can demonstrate
the
commitment.
The problem is, this comes
saying,
from 2 years ago when these guys were ready and willing and in the program.
And wasn't our program 2 years ago. So as I just said, I came here to talk about we retooled. We're in another retool right now. Largely because we do have, they're not a large number of people. I don't have 50 of these people now to count. But I've got about a half a dozen folks that live in their communities at fairly slow stations that came to me and said, look, I want to be a part of the program, but it is, I don't want to call it a waste of time, I'm paraphrasing their words, but why am I going to go drive and sit at a station that I probably won't want to call at when I live half a mile away? And the compromise was, are you willing to sign up and commit for the day? And are you willing to come in the morning, check the equipment out, do your staffing, do your little bit of stuff in the morning, and carry the pager? They said yes. So we went back. That's a change in county government. I went back to county human resources. We got the position established. We've implemented it. So now, I don't know what happened. And your husband's, he's a good man. And I have for him and Corey both. But if he doesn't want to participate, there's nothing I can do about that. You know? And if he would like to talk to me, he has my contact, as you do. And he could have reached out to me a year ago or 6 months ago and said, Chief, you told me this. You may not always like what I say, but I'm a man of my word. So I'll make the offer again. And if he wants to come out, I'll come out and take him to lunch and we'll sit down and talk about it. I have no interest in not having those people involved in this program. You know, we can even lower the EMS requirements to public safety first aid. I mean, there is minimum requirements. They just have to meet that and commit to the program.
Do you guys offer the training, or is that something
no, we
you
offer
have
it.
To pay for?
We offer it.
Where can I find the driving requirements?
We just did a class in Joliet.
Where can I find the driving requirements?
For what vehicle?
For that patrol out there.
So the patrol, we do an in-house patrol class that covers the emergency vehicle operations, or the equivalent of, I don't want to get into all the code stuff, but the equivalent of the NFPA driving, the minimum required. We don't require driver operator 1A, which is the 40-hour class to drive a fire engine. So we basically do a 2-day emergency vehicle operations course for the code 3 for the insurance. It's a total of 5 days.
Yeah.
Four. We can do it 2 weekends. And then we do the vehicle operations.
So who's actually requiring this?
The NFPA requirements, which are codified through state fire training and state statute, and that are then further codified in Senate Bill 1207 and Labor Code 6400. And I would be glad to give you all of the legal requirements. If you don't believe me, I will give you the law and the links. You can read the material yourself. It's very clear on the level of training that we have to provide. So what we do is, sometimes within that training, like vehicle courses, there is a difference between driving a patrol and driving a big Type 1 fire engine. So we do have some gray area within those training requirements based on the vehicle. Now the water tenders, we don't, because of the size and the weight, the center of gravity. We require the full driver operator series for the water tenders.
Is there an age requirement?
I'm 18 years old.
I have a question.
And a max.
As long as you can pass the medical, there's no...
So no lady like me can do it?
You can.
if this is a state requirement to drive those vehicles, how come volunteer firefighters...
Well, it is... One, it is a state and a national requirement. Two, it is also an insurance requirement. Mm-hmm. And it is a workers' comp requirement that we have training standards in order to get workers' comp.
Then how come a volunteer firefighter can drive the same vehicle on the road?
Where?
In Julian?
I'm not going to discuss Julian.
Well, this isn't. They 2 months ago, 3 months ago, they had a volunteer station there. They got in the same vehicle and drove it down the road. Correct.
So if you read my report I wrote to LAFCO, it's very clear in there that they were violating the law.
Were missing out of our files.
And that will be.
There's nothing.
That
in
will
files.
Be handled on a separate case.
What law
Definitely.
are they breaking?
Which is, if I heard you earlier say, that point there is a lot of the reason why so many of the volunteer stations are going by the wayside, because of
the training requirements.
Legal
ramifications,
legal standards,
financial, OSHA, just like
insurance.
So many things in our
insurance.
Country
but
today.
But it
yeah,
shouldn't take
just,
8 months to be able to drive a vehicle like that. I mean, because you're saying like the bigger vehicles require more,
so
but these vehicles require a lot less, and there's more gray area. So it's a 2-day class. Why does it take so long?
Because you have to be, in order to take the class, there's a prerequisite that you be a firefighter one. Again, anybody in here, I could give the keys to, and you could drive that vehicle down the road to a call today. But there's also a training of what do we do when we get to the call?
Yeah.
Do we have the ability to understand the situation? Do we know what to do in that situation? Are we going to exceed our capabilities? What are the capabilities of the vehicle? So the minimum requirement for the driving is firefighter one. State fire, or if you want the requirement, you can look up, it's NFPA 1001.
For driving what? The patrol? For driving the patrol?
To take the driving course, you have to already be a firefighter.
It's the basic.
One.
Right.
Yes. You have to have basic firefighter training, and we require basic medical training. It's not driving the vehicle. It is, what do you do when you get the call? I can send 100 vehicles to a call, but if nobody knows what to do when they get there, they're not an effective force. So I haven't done anything to increase your level of protection by having a vehicle show up at your house. So the 8-month or longer requirement,
and it's a medical,
is the training that gets you the ability to then drive the vehicle and supervise somebody else on the vehicle.
What?
And that takes probably a year to get somebody to that level.
What NFPA standard is that for firefighter one? You have to be
10,001.
Huh?
10,001.
10,001. Okay.
So, I think honestly, as a community, I mean, we're concerned about fires, but I think this community, more generally speaking, is concerned about the health of people.
EMS response.
So why do we need to make these same requirements of people that are staffed here to respond to an EMS call? If there's no fire, they're not going to drive into a fire and get stuck. Why can't this person who can drive the vehicle, can save a life, is qualified to save the life, has been trained to save the life, get in that car and go and drive?
So are you talking, because these programs do exist, of just an EMS responder?
Yeah.
There's a non-firefighting classification?
If you gave us EMS, this community would be very grateful.
Very happy.
So I just want to be clear. So you believe that there's enough people here in this community, if we were to provide the EMS training, some type of driver's training for a pickup without fire equipment, hose and water. Do you believe there'd be enough people here that would cover this community?
Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Yep.
And I think you would see your problems in this community kind of not, we're still gonna have our meetings and there's gonna be issues, but I think you're gonna see a large portion of the anger and the frustration here go by the wayside.
People are scared for their families.
Yeah.
We live in an area where if there's a fire, there's so much wind, we're leaving.
Yeah.
We're grabbing our stuff and we're leaving. We're gonna pray that you guys do your job. It's not the fire that we sit here and worry about, which is why I ask the questions on the drivers. Like, it doesn't make sense to us, because at the end of the day, we're worried about these people that are gonna have heart attacks in 30 minute response time. They have an hour to be in the hospital. It's 30 minutes before someone even shows up.
Issues.
So you guys want an option just of EMS?
We want someone here.
I
if they can do fire, that's
like,
awesome.
That's the biggest concern is EMS for you guys.
It's
and I know we've talked about that in the past.
It is.
So an option could be thrown out there, like Chief was saying.
If you guys came with, I think you would find the community in agreement. Like, that's our biggest concern.
It's
you
a
know,
step
at the,
forward.
At the end,
yes.
The,
yes, you guys.
I think this is a great idea, and I have no reason not to support it. We roll them into support measures. I'll still say, I don't think that's the answer. I think it's another Band-Aid.
It is a step.
I still think it's a Band-Aid.
I think we can work
on that, my hesitation is that I've been very clear with the county that the answer is career staff. That we have to flip the switch.
I think we should.
And I think we go down two paths here of working on these. But I don't I don't want to come to you folks. I mean, I'm willing to take it back. So don't think I'm, it's a good idea. I don't want to take that back to my bosses and say, well, hey, there's this idea of another band-aid. I think through Eric and myself, we can work on that, and it's not a hard program to develop. Relatively speaking, I think we still have the same requirements. You got to sign up for 3 days a month and commit to being available and go to the training, and then we can hold the training right here in this room.
There's physical requirements in the county.
Some basic, you would have to pass a basic.
To be able to lift certain amounts,
yeah, exactly.
Bend over.
But it wouldn't be the same medical that we would do for a volunteer firefighter. But there, it's not like I flip the switch. They're going to have to look at what would that medical be. Is it the equivalent of a DMV physical? I mean, I don't know without talking to the
And then won't the county have a problem with OSHA right there? Or any kind of the insurance? Who would be covering these EMS people? Could it be a county
No, because the insurance is based... The insurance is based on the risk and the environment we're going to be putting people into. And so, look, there's always, we have to be covered by workers' comp,
right?
And so when somebody, you know, picks up a patient or hurts their back, you have to be covered. And, so when we look at, though, going to the insurers and even in the county, self-insured, but they still have a board. We just have to identify the training. So I'll give an example. In addition to EMS training, if we're going to have people working on along highways, then we have to do the highway safety class and make sure we know to wear their vest. So we would have to sit down and go, okay, what environments are people going to be put in? If they're potentially responding to an accident with hazardous materials, then we at least have to legally do the hazardous materials awareness, the 4-hour course, not the responder course. So we would have to really look at the scope of the hazards we're going to put people in, and then what is the training to mitigate those hazards. This is not, this concept is not unheard of. When I was in Riverside, community similar, Rancho Carrillo, you actually have to drive into Orange County and back. Same kind of an issue. They could not maintain a volunteer force, and they went to a community EMS responder system. They're a very isolated community of 74 homes. That's about a 40-minute drive through the middle of the Cleveland National Forest. And they went to this model, and they've had some success with it. They've had days where they've had nobody there, but they have had a few successes. So the model is out there for a community EMS responder. But again, I really think the answer here is personal. You know, and again, we've done incremental improvements. When Mercy came on board and we started dispatching, we worked with them, our data analysis unit, to move the ambulance from up on Mesa Grande to Warner Springs. That got that ambulance probably 20 minutes closer here. I know it's not in your community. You know, we've made about every incremental change we can make.
What does it take to make it a career station?
Money.
$1 million a year.
That's going to be your effort in January, you think?
Well, it starts now.
Okay.
I mean, it starts now.
But the first time you can propose it to the County Board of Supervisors for funding is in January. That's the first time
If you're looking at targets, I mean, the work starts now.
Right.
I'm going to show this. I'm going to keep this as this is a... draft document that is not ready to go out. Can you hold my page? But this report, this is, some of the analysis that we've already done. We've looked at the response times, we've looked at the coverage, the community risk hazard, and you can see right here is some of our current options. So we're funding out the staffing. So the one firefighter, I put Captain Ortega on shift work, is 177. There's some other options. These numbers are not all completely accurate.
Right.
Some of it depends on whether Julian comes in or goes out. Because if they come in, I actually need a few more people the way our relief modules. If Julian doesn't come in, I need less people because we have the 7th day of coverage through our relief. So that's why these numbers are there, but this, I want to show you, this is the start of the staff report. This is all of our current volunteer rosters. And if you looked at this report compared to last year, you're going to see these numbers. I mean, look, fire apparatus engineers. If you look at our seniors, which are our drivers, so the numbers aren't there.
Right.
And we are tracking these numbers continuing to drop. This is where you're at 17. So if you look at entry level and journey, we do pretty good. Well, the kids don't want to come in.
Right.
And then, your coverage and everything else. The one thing I do have to share, though, is we are at a 1444 average rate. Now, what that means is, half are worse and half are, half are better. But just when we make the arguments, we have to make arguments based on facts. So when we throw out that it takes them 30 minutes to get here, it's not factually true. So when I go to the county and they look at the data, they're going to look at the data. We have to make the argument together about, okay, when that engine's gone, or we have to look at best case scenario, or we need to look at 90th percentile compliance, all of those are things. But we have to be very careful when we're throwing out numbers, okay? So whatever those numbers are, that we are all speaking the same language and that we're making the argument that, look, I could have a 14-minute response time out here. Okay, maybe that is the average. It is the average. But you compare that to how many days the station is dark, that's probably a better argument to make that, hey, we never know when an emergency is going to occur. We never know this. This is why we need this, because the staffing. Because if you just want to focus on one key factor there.
But wouldn't it be also good to do a community risk analysis? But by that, I mean, look at the population, look at the number of elderly, look at the chronic conditions, look at the disabled.
So I'll show you, and this is not our, it's a very complex formula, but this is the community risk analysis.
Where's the
chronic condition?
So yeah, there's not, this is a snapshot of it, and I'd be glad to give you the full. They do a comprehensive community risk analysis. So those are the types of arguments that you go in and make. Travel time, I mean, all those things. We can't, I'm just trying to be helpful. If you throw out that it takes 30 minutes here, that's not factually correct. I think
right.
When we look at all of the other factors, it's a better argument to me.
So that said, based on a comment that Jamie was making earlier, is that there are people who don't even call 911, choose. So the message to the community, albeit a risk for them, is to call 911. If you don't get a response at a time where you feel safe, then by all means, down the road you go. But we don't have this data because people aren't calling.
Yeah, so here's the other part. I want to address that. So anybody who's going to drive themselves to the hospital